Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, also available on iTunes. Before we introduce you to today's guest, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors who make today's show possible, the people at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including executive search, payrolling services, and temporary services. So please do keep them in mind for all of your potential recruitment needs. Today, we are very fortunate to have an amazing veteran and guest with us who is a famous speaker, author, and submarine veteran, R.T. Stokes. R.T. is committed to helping others dive beneath the surface to discover greater purpose waiting to rise. He takes his powerful message, rooting in those he learned in the Navy, of pursuing a relentless rise despite the pressures of life to the public through his powerful keynotes and working one-on-one with individuals, organizations, and corporations. A former Navy submarine strategic supervisor, try saying that five times fast, Stokes worked on nuclear submarines before moving on to become a master training specialist at Trident Training Facility. Following his Navy career, he spent 3 years in small business and 10 years in a large global corporation in various leadership roles, including his final corporate role as Inspired Learning Innovation Leader for GE Aviation. Today, Stokes is also the founder and CEO of Eclipsis, which builds digital solutions to support online learning, collaboration, and performance for corporations and entrepreneurs. Thanks so much for joining us today, R.T. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to join you.
Yeah, this is wonderful. So, you know, again, as we're talking off air, just I want to go on air and say it as well. Thank you so much for your service, R.T. I mean, I don't think that we honestly thank our veterans enough. And really, thank you for the time and the service and the energy you put in and the things that we might not even know that you did to get yourself here and to help all of us. So thank you for that.
And Jennifer, it fills my heart to hear you say that. So thank you so much. I can feel your sincerity in your words. I appreciate it. And it was an honor to serve.
That is amazing. And, you know, I've had the privilege of working with so many veterans, and there are so many great organizations out there that, you know, veterans become some of the best leaders quite out there in the world, quite literally out there in the world. In fact, that's one of the things that I'm sure makes you a great veteran is you learn leadership skills. You learn how to deal with crises and situations. So tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about this, about how it was that you came to first go into the Navy and then your personal story. I know it's quite an amazing story of what happened with the car crash.
Sure. So I went to college. That was the plan. And my family, we didn't have a choice. Everybody is going to go to college after high school. And I went to college, and during the 2 years that I first went, I was finding myself. I couldn't find my way into the classroom, but I was having fun being out there exploring. And it was just a great social experience for me, but I had missed out on some of the academic challenges. And in a conversation with my mother, she informed me that the cost of a C is the same as the cost of an A. So she's not going to continue to fund me going in and just underperforming. There had to be some return on that investment. So me thinking I was grown, I said, okay, fine, I'll do it myself. And I walk out of the house and I realize I don't have a plan. I have to figure out how am I going to be able to pay for my education. And the Navy was something I always wanted to do. I grew up loving the Blue Angels, seeing them soar across the sky. I said, I can't wait to go into the Navy. And as soon as I show up in the recruiter's office, they looked at my GPA and said, okay, you're not going to be flying a plane anytime soon. Okay, but we have something else for you. What about these submarines? And I'm pretty excited. Courage, commitment. It was everything I was looking for. More than anything, to be able to say I could restore my honor. I could redeem those 2 years of failure and show that I had this courage and commitment to put on a uniform and just show my family that they could be proud of me. Should I continue with the story?
Yes, I'm wrapped. I am absolutely wrapped with attention. I'm sure our listeners are as well.
So I am so excited. When I leave home, I'm this scrappy guy who really hadn't done much with his life. But when I return from boot camp, I have this uniform on. I had been a recruit commander, so there was so much leadership. My life had completely turned around from boot camp. And I'm knocking on my grandfather's door. I just got home. He's not there. I'm excited to show my family my uniform. So I get in the car, and as soon as I pull out of the driveway, I drive maybe about 2 minutes up the street, and that was the last thing I remember. I just wake up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I wake up in the hospital, and I don't know why I'm there. And I'm looking around, and I can see I'm covered in sheets. I'm in a hospital bed, and my uniform isn't on me. So that's the first thing I think about. Where's my uniform? And I was told I was hit by a suspect who had stolen a vehicle. So I was on the wrong end of a police chase, and I never saw it coming. And I was just devastated, not just for the physical bones that were broken and the memory that was lost, but the fact that my uniform, I didn't have that opportunity to show my family honor, courage, commitment, that this is somebody who's different. And this really was a turning point in my life, that honor, courage, and commitment couldn't just be that uniform. It had to be something that was inherent. It had to be something that was inside of me. I had to be somebody who could personify honor, courage, and commitment. The problem was I was suffering so much of a memory loss from the car accident. I had a hard time piecing together, am I that guy who was the raggedy pre-college? Am I still that guy? Or am I the guy who turned around in boot camp? And I think a lot of us in our lives have periods of brokenness. And it might be a relationship. It might be an endeavor that we pursued. It might be a job that just didn't work out the way that we wanted to. And when we find ourselves at that point of brokenness, it gets difficult to try to pick up the pieces and put everything back together unless we have a good idea of what that picture on the puzzle box looks like. And that's what I had to do, come up with my own picture on the puzzle box of what did I want my life to look like. And I rebuilt it on that submarine.
So it's such a beautiful story. And I think that one of the questions that's burning on my mind, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners' minds, is how did you choose what picture went on the puzzle box? Here you are with piecemeal memories of perhaps when you were in college and as a young man, and then perhaps little bits and pieces of the Navy. How did you then decide, or choose rather, what it was you wanted to be the picture on your puzzle box? I think that's a wonderful kind of inquiry for us all, is what do we want the picture on our puzzle box to look like?
That's probably the next book I'm going to write.
You should, I think. I think that should be the title of the book. It's a freebie.
out of all the interviews over the past year, that is probably the best question that I've been asked. You know, I think it really comes down to understanding purpose and knowing that on the submarine, I was away from everything. And what it did was it shrunk the world for me. We weren't connected to the surface. This is mid-90s, so there's no internet or anything like that. There are no cell phones. We're just basically underwater in the middle of the ocean. It's kind of like Jonah being inside of a metal whale. And I had time to really think of four key aspects: voice, vision, value, and vessel. From a voice standpoint, what did I want to express? What did I want to share with the world? When I speak, how do I want people to feel? From a vision standpoint, what type of insight did I have in life? When I looked out at the world, what did I see? How did I want to change it? And could I start to think logically about the role that I could play in bringing that change into fruition? From a value standpoint, I looked at exchange. I looked at people who I wanted to serve, and if I knew that I couldn't bring value to them, how could I increase the value that I could contribute? How could I upskill myself? What could I learn? How could I change my behavior in such a way that I could be inclusive, pull people close to me, get them to tell me exactly what their problems were, and then from what I learned, provide intelligent solutions? And last but not least, that vessel piece. I realized that I had to optimize my life and really be the best that I could possibly be. The same way that many of us look at our vehicles and we take care of our vehicles, that's how I look at my body. That's how I look at my life. I have to make sure that I'm optimized so that everything that I want to accomplish through my voice, through my vision, the value that I want to provide as the vessel, I'm the vehicle that's able to deliver that without a doubt. And that's how I was able to pull that picture together, just knowing that I could construct my purpose.
Yeah, I think finding our purpose, it's this elusive, magical, mythical creature, this purpose thing. We all, you can sit on a mountain for 40 years. And I actually met a guy one time, I think his name is Babaji. He's a very famous guru in India. And he did just that, RT. Actually was deigned as a child. When he was 5 years old, he was selected that you're going to be the next Babaji. And when it was determined that the current Babaji was in his last 5 to 10 years of life, this Babaji who I met was sent up to the mountains with no clothes, a stick to fend for himself and to get whatever food he needed to get, and literally was on a mountain. And, you know, it's funny. We all go through our own rebirthing process and figuring out what is our purpose. Yeah. And we can sit and meditate on a mountain for 20 years. We can go in a submarine and reflect. But when you start to scratch the surface of what really matters to you, that's what I think everybody is yearning for. No matter, you know, we get into all these conversations. Last week, we had famous futurists on the show, Alexandra Levin, and we were talking about the generational gaps. And I think that regardless if you're a traditionalist, a baby boomer, a Gen X, or a millennial, all of us want to find our purpose. And when we do, that's what's worth putting our feet on the ground in the morning. And that's what gets us out of bed.
Yes. Yes. And I believe that people will help us find it. I believe in the purpose that we all have, we move from purpose to vision to mission. And purpose meaning my reason, my why. I consider it, if I can continue to stick with the submarine Navy analogy here, the purpose is my base. My vision is the channel that I'm going to transport myself, my purpose, and moving into an operational area where my life mission begins. So on the submarine, I was able to look at the strategic patrol of the submarine and look at my life from a strategic standpoint to say, how can I move my purpose through a vision to a mission and begin working on people? And I really do think that people will help guide us when we're connected to the right people. They will help guide us to affirming the value of our purpose.
I love that, RT. So tell our listeners a little bit about this. How can they out there, somebody is tuning in right now, maybe they're driving home from work, or maybe they're listening to this episode on the weekend, and they're thinking, gosh, RT and Jennifer Hill are standing there talking about purpose. How the heck do I, I didn't go through a car accident. I've never been a Navy vet or a radio host. How do I find my damn purpose? Give it to me, people.
Yes. You know, I think part of it is reaching. I think part of it is reaching, and also the willingness to be wrong. The willingness to be wrong, but still move forward and kind of lean into it. I love the approach where we don't really know where that finish line is in life, so we should always be leaning forward. And I think positively leaning forward, how can I serve? How can I connect with others? What difference can I make in the world? To continue to press, and before we know it, that purpose becomes apparent. It's not a job, and I think many of us look at purpose the same way we do a vocation. If we have voice, vision, value, we operate as the vessel, the vehicle. The next thing would be to move into a vocation, but the vocation isn't necessarily our purpose. It's a way for us to apply our purpose to people. So I don't think purpose is so much elusive. I think that we need to continue to press and find, again, those components that I mentioned. How can I use my voice to express which is inside of me? How can I use my vision to have more insight? How can I increase value? If we wrap around those three points there and then pull it into ourselves as a vessel, we'll be walking in our purpose before we know it.
It's easier said than done, though, because it's funny you say that, RT. You know, it made me think of, as you were speaking, I think the movie was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, or one of those movies where they take some sort of drug. and you're so tempted. I think they're in Vegas and you have all these temptations. You have alcohol, you have drugs, you have shiny, bright things and flashing lights and gambling. And, you know, we all have, I'm not even talking about vices like gambling or alcohol. I'm talking about, which are, again, just things that we all can occupy our time with. I'm talking about social media, about television and the things that we can so easily get caught up in, spending 10, 20, 30, 40 hours a week focused on our favorite video game or focused on our favorite television show, which, hey, I've binge watched my series, my favorite series of shows, just as much as the next person. But I find that all of those things are kind of the distractions that prevent you from being able to see the capital letter P purpose. And feel free to use that, by the way, in your puzzle book. Kidding, not kidding. But yeah, it's all yours. I mean, I'm getting this from you, RT, is that I think that it's important to put our blinders on to the things that are the easy way out, the easy distractions. We can all get easily dissuaded by things going on in the news, what's going on socially, et cetera, and then lose track and lose sight of what matters to us. And I think what you said that's so beautiful and profound that I would love our listeners to connect to is just to get out there and try something. Do anything. Because if you're doing the same thing over and over and you're having depression, scarcity, you're not feeling fulfilled, whatever might be missing in your life, try something different. Do something unprecedented that you've never done before. And in breaking free of that, in trying 100 new things in a year, or one new thing in a year, you're going to be one step literally closer to fulfilling that purpose, or at least discovering what that could be for you.
Yes. One of the big differences in my life, I was selfish. I was self-centered when I first went to college. I don't regret it because finding myself was fun. I'm just being very honest.
It was, right? It is. For anybody out there, it's fun. Enjoy.
That's right. So there are people out there doing things that are fun and not necessarily purpose-centered. And I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. I don't think it's bad for people to find themselves, for them to enjoy themselves. We all have different types of life journeys. So when you're on road is or you're off ramp, I mean, they're all at different times. But I would say for me, when I first went into college, those first couple of years, I was really thinking about me. I was thinking about me. Mm. And when I started to get more serious, which is the night before we went on patrol, the night before I had to understand, okay, you're going to close this hatch and it will be months before we see daylight. Let me make sure I'm okay with that, right? I had to ask myself, are you truly committed to the sacrifice? Honor, courage, and commitment, when you raised your hand and you gave the oath, are you truly committed to keeping people safe? And I made that commitment that the night before we went on that submarine, I will never forget. My heart was just, yes, I will do what I've been called to do. I will serve my oath to do everything I can, whatever it takes, to serve and protect. And it was such a life-changing moment for me. I transitioned that to myself. Now I know what my purpose is from a Navy standpoint, from a submarine standpoint. But what is the strategic purpose for my life? And how do I serve that with the same level of accountability, with the same obligation to be committed when I wake up every morning that I'm going to serve the purpose the same way I would serve in the Navy?
It's so beautiful, RT. And so how do you presence that today in your life? How many years has it been since you've left the Navy and finished your service?
I left the Navy in 2004, and I worked for a small business for 3 years, and that small business changed my life because I work with beautiful people. We have different jobs with different companies, and every now and then, there's this culture that you can touch. You're just like, oh, this is incredible. So I had the opportunity to work with a company with some beautiful people for 3 years. Then I moved into the corporate environment where I just learned so much for the 11 years that I was there.
And so how today, when you get out of bed today, do you still connect to that same purpose that you had when you closed the hatch on the submarine? Or is there something different that you connect to today as your purpose?
I do. So my purpose And I realized this, and this is one of the reasons I left my corporate job, which was the best job I ever had. To know me, my personality, my story, and to be in a corporate role called the Inspired Learning Leader.
That's amazing. Best title ever. Learn.
Right. Thank you, GE, for that. I was so thankful to have that. But I realized that I wanted things to be deeper. I didn't want to just help with leadership development. I didn't want to help with self-improvement. But Jennifer, I realized that there are tools inside of the corporate environment that allow for effective change management or accelerated change. And I looked across society and said, you know what? If I can find a way to adopt these tools to what I sense from a submarine standpoint, from my experience, and create this model where, you know what? We have people who are submerged in society. We have people who have challenges and issues that are submerged inside of them. Depression, suicide, all these things that we're dealing with in society, they're getting harder and harder to see. Why? Because there's a certain level of submergence that people are beginning to adopt. So the tools from the corporate, my experience from the Navy, all came together. And I realized, okay, my purpose is still one and the same, where I'm helping people get through a difficult patrol and return to shore.
It's so poetic and beautiful to proverbially get back to the shore of, you know, to get back to wherever it is we went for. It's like life is one big journey, and we're always on some form or another of a journey of learning, a journey of deeper understanding and peeling back the layers. There was a funny movie I was watching last night called Code 8. And the woman says to her son, what vegetable would you like to be? And he says, well, I would want to be a tomato because it's a vegetable and a fruit. And he says, what about you, Mom? And she says, I want to be an onion. And he says, an onion? Why an onion? And she said, because there's so many layers and you never know when you'll get to the bottom. And that's how we are as human beings. we have, isn't that so beautiful? It's kind of like a cheesy sci-fi sort of movie, but I'll always remember that quote.
Yeah. So I love that.
Yeah, it's just funny little inspirational things that we sometimes think about. And it's just like, who are we and what is our journey? And we are living the life of a proverbial onion, never knowing when we're going to get to the center, because there's always another layer to peel back. And somebody else had just posted something beautiful. Of course, you know, our hearts go out to Kobe Bryant and to his family for everything that, you know, the loss, no matter who you come across, people's lives have been touched by this inspirational, amazing human being in some shape or form. But I think what's so interesting is that how many memes you're now seeing of, you know, live every moment, tell the people you love that you love them, because somebody like Kobe dying, I think
that's right. It
was a dream shattered. You have this person who seemed superhuman out there, who was unexpectedly taken from all of us, along with his daughter and beautiful other people who were on the helicopter with him. And I think it just helped us put things in perspective that none of us are immortal and that we're all going to, you know, leave this plane at some point or another. So let's just squeeze every moment that we have out of life with the people we love in it, and not sit around and waste another moment, because we might not have more moments to lose.
That's wonderful. I want to stand up and applaud. I couldn't agree with you more. That is beautiful.
Yeah. And it's so
when I
go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, then.
You please.
No, please. After you.
No, I was just going to ask about emotional resilience, because I know that's one of your topics. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do we be emotionally resilient as human beings despite that sort of obstacle?
So I will tip into a little bit of the submarine realm to answer that question. And one of the challenges that I had was being away from the shore, and you're not in contact. So there's no email or anything like that. When we go underwater, we go underwater. When we're on patrol to maintain security and secrecy. They don't call it silent service for nothing. We disappear, and being without the sun and being without contact to family, it's important to stay strong, because everybody is going to have a bad day on the submarine. Everybody's going to have that day where I wonder if my parents are doing okay. I wonder, you know, my marriage is kind of, I hope things are okay when I get back. And you've got 3 months to think about this. Very much. I wonder if my kids are going to recognize. It took a while for my daughter to get used to the fact, yeah, I'm back home. It's me. I'm dad. Because I was gone for so long without having the opportunity to make contact with them. And the sad thing, well, a couple things. Number one, I became the lay leader because I was passionate about helping people deal with the pressures, but still stay focused on the mission. I know this is hard. I know this is difficult. I know your mind is somewhere else, but are you able to gather yourself enough to be able to stand this watch and do what we have to do? Because when you get back to the shore, everything that we're dealing with right now, it'll be worth it. And I feel the same way for people, what they're doing now throughout society. And it doesn't matter. The challenge gets to be, I don't have to agree or even like people to help them. It's part of my purpose. So whenever I sense that somebody is in a situation where they can be on a better ground, I want to uplift them. I want to get them to a better position. And when I say uplift, I'm not talking about necessarily the emotional standpoint. I just want them to be happy. When I mean uplift, I literally want them to be positioned in a better vantage point. So from a logical standpoint, from a perspective standpoint, from an attitude standpoint, they're able to operate at a higher level. So at that higher level, we might find agreement. We may not, but still, I'm doing the best that I can to help somebody from being suppressed.
RT, that's huge and it's admirable. And in my own mind, I'm like, that sounds fantastic in theory. Like, I can totally hear that all of us as human beings would love to be able to see the best in another person, uplift them and set them up for the best. But what if that other person is not receptive to being uplifted by you in particular? How do you then circumnavigate that situation so that it doesn't become more mired in frustration or further upset?
So laughingly, I'm not sure if I've ever told anybody this, but my mindset is, my purpose is to help people who are struggling at sea and get them safely back ashore. In the situation that you presented, if someone's not receptive, my feeling is, you know what? There'll be another boat that'll come along and pick you up.
Oh my God, RT, that's like my favorite quote I think I've ever heard on the show. There'll be another boat. It's okay. I'm not your boat. I'll leave another boat.
I'm not going to force it because I think that people have to be able to understand what's best for them. And so I'm not telling people what shore they need to go to. I'm not telling somebody what they should believe in. I'm not telling somebody what they should vote for. I'm not doing any of that. But I do know that when somebody is in the middle of a struggle, all that other stuff doesn't matter. Get them out of that difficulty. Get them out of that deep spot in their lives. You know, we're dealing with depression. We're dealing with, sometimes it's a life or death situation. As long as we have people online, I'm sure you heard this story where one teenager convinces another teenager to commit suicide, or other teenagers are bullying other people online. I have to get in there and play my part, just like I did on the submarine. I want to get out there and serve and help people overcome these challenges, get them back to serving in their mission in life so they can fulfill their purpose and establish a stronger base on the shore so they never have to worry about being in a depressive state.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. And I think what you just said is so important, RT. I think that there's the people out there like you who are just willing and available to help others. There was somebody who's a Facebook friend of mine who I've only met once, and she posted a beautiful story the other day of somebody she had never met who was a Facebook friend who posted, hey, I'm feeling suicidal. I don't know what to do. And she reached out to that person. She had the courage and the audacity to reach out to this person who she had never spoken with before and to be there for that person in that moment. And I think what she shared with me in that time was that just reach out to people. You know, we all think we're alone. We all think we're submarines with nobody else out there, that we're never going to be able to come up and see the sun again. But when you realize that there is a shore to get to, I think that that's what matters, is to show people that, guess what? Yes, you might be suffering. There might be extreme trauma or drama or chaos in your life, but somewhere out there, there's a shore and somebody is willing to get you there if you're willing to receive the help.
Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, we don't want to admit it because we've all been hurt. We've all made mistakes. We've all had bad relationships. But at the end of the day, here's the truth. Being a hero is about people. Like if you can imagine a superhero, they're flying around. They've got all different types of lasers flying out of the eyes. They can do all different types of stuff. But there are no people to save. Nobody's in trouble, right? Everybody's okay, right? We wish Superman would get out of the way at the gym so we can get to the dumbbells, right? We'd be like, Superman, move out of the way, right? If nobody was in trouble, if there was nobody to help, the heroes wouldn't be so important. So why are we so fascinated with heroes is because we all want to be able to help people. And we all want to have something inside of ourselves that can provide a solution for something that someone's dealing with. And we all, at the end of the day, have different solutions that we provide for people. But that desire, it really does start with people, making a difference in the lives of others. That's what truly, truly makes us all want to be a hero. Even though flying is cool, just for the record.
Flying is cool.
That is cool. Flying is cool.
Yeah. And you know what? I would invite our listeners out there, anybody tuning in, you know, people might be listening now or they might be listening a week or a month or a year from now. Go and post a story and maybe hashtag my hero and share a story that somebody might not even realize that they were your hero. And that time that person said something or did something, you know, I was sharing on my other show, I host a show on Thursdays at 7 a.m. called Metaphysics on Awake TV Network. And I was sharing with Bill Lau on the show this last week that I had this gentleman who was a hero to me. I was severely depressed. I was $40,000 in debt. I was 22, 21 years old. I had no way, RT, to get myself out of debt. I went to my dad. He turned me down for a loan. He said, you got yourself into this mess. You got to get yourself out of it. And it was the toughest thing I'd ever heard in my life, RT. But in that moment, I had to learn how to solve a problem. And I thought to myself, who could help me? And there was one lovely gentleman, you know, shout out to John Selleck, who I had met in my travels. And I just, with the most humility in my heart, said, John, if you could possibly honor me with $250 as a loan, I will pay you back with interest in 3 months. I don't know how, but I will. Just please, could you give me this loan just so I can pay the minimum bills? Because it feels like death if you can't pay your bills. And John did me this one act of kindness. And in that moment, RT, he was my hero. I was depressed. I was suicidal at the time. I didn't know what I was going to do. And that moment, that one man's kind gesture literally saved my life and now has allowed me to go on and help many others. And I paid him back with interest, you know, 3 months later. But that moment changed my life. And I would just invite anybody out there, thank the heroes in your life, hashtag my hero, and post a story. Maybe somebody might not even realize the difference they made for you. It could have been a smile, a kind act, a kind word, somebody who maybe took a moment to ask you how your day was on a tough day. Those are the things, the unsung heroes. So I think that's just so beautiful and important for us to pay attention to in today's society.
And I hope you don't mind me just highlighting some things I love about your story. Humility and strength. And humility doesn't mean that there's a certain meekness where you can't have boldness, but you had the courage to make the request. And not only did you have the courage to make the request, but you were specific about what you were asking for, which I love. it wasn't just some problem that was so ambiguous to you. You were just saying help. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Sometimes we don't have any idea how to really solve the problem, but I love the fact that you were specific about what you needed to solve your problem and then how to be able to return it, how to be able to close the situation after it had been opened. I love that example.
Thank you so much, RT. And I'm sure you have been a hero, my friend, to many people. And that's what, you know, I love about your book. We didn't even get a chance to really talk too much about your book. Tell our listeners where it is. Tell them a little snippet about the book, because I want to make sure that we leave them with a little teaser, a little bit more about the book before we close out today's show.
Sure. So really quick, the book is called The Relentless Rise. And what it does is a submarine has certain principles of operation. And we're told that if we follow these principles of operation, no matter how long we're under, that submarine's going to be able to return to the surface. And I translated the principles of operation for a submarine into human performance behavior attributes. And if we apply these principles to our lives, such as how do we use the periscope to improve our perspective? How do we control the power reactor inside of us to know the certain particles of passion that will continue to keep us going? How do we move into position to make sure that we can operate at a vantage point for our mission? Inside of the book, there are 7 key principles of operation that help people overcome in times of submergence. And it is an incredible book. Obviously, as an author, I'm saying that, right? But it has tactical touch points. For every principle, I provide 5 tactical touch points. And those 5 tactical touch points will give you certain tools, will give you certain approaches that you can take to overcoming. So there are over 35 different tips in there for how you can change your life.
So beautiful, RT. Well, if people want to connect with you on social or follow you in other aspects as well, how would people connect with you if they want to work with you or learn more about you?
Sure. You can reach me on Facebook at RT Stokes Rise. So my Facebook page is very active. I also am active on Instagram. My website is rtstokes.com. The book, The Relentless Rise, is available for purchase right now at Amazon. So if you go on Amazon and search The Relentless Rise, you'll find that book and you can start bringing yourself to the surface today. But I would love, even after I get off of this call on that Facebook page, every single day I post encouragement to uplift people, every single day. So I will post here roughly within the hour another uplifting verse. So please join me and be a part of this patrol of purpose.
Oh, I love that, RT. And I'll be sure to share a link with you so we can share it on your website and other places as well for anybody who missed all of today's show. And you'll also be able to find today's show later this week on iTunes, as I mentioned, under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. And we also have a Get Yourself the Job Facebook page where we'll share different articles and different things that sometimes don't make it to the show in the form of guests, but other great information that might be valuable for anybody out there. And I do invite you to tune in every Thursday at 7 a.m. as well to awaketvnetwork.com. Myself and all of the other amazing teachers on there. I think we have about 60 countries from around the world tuning in now to Awake TV Network. And that show is every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you can also find the episode I recently did with Deepak Chopra and Don Hoffman about their respective books. If you go to metabizics, MetaBizics.com, you can find the full episode for free on there with Deepak Chopra and Don Hoffman. So thank you so much to all of our listeners today who tuned in now or in the future. Thank you, RT. It has been such a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show today. And I am intending that your mission goes viral and that you're able to help millions more people around the world. So thank you for everything.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week. And thanks so much for tuning in.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.